Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of My Cancer Story podcast. My name is Jess Nelson. I am the creator and host. Guys, I'm so excited for this episode. Please be ready to be inspired. Today, you're going to meet Matt Odie. He is a stage 3C testicular cancer survivor, as well as a keynote motivational speaker. Oh my gosh, from beginning to end, it's just inspiration here. Like this conversation, I was just writing notes furiously and just soaking up all that I could from speaking with Matt. You are going to learn everything about him as far as his diagnosis at the age of 24, going through his surgeries, being in the ICU for over 40 days, being in Cleveland Clinic for 53 days, 5 major surgeries, being in a coma, so many setbacks, losing all this weight, coming from being a personal trainer to losing all this weight. He talks about everything in life happens for you, not to you. He shares his slingshot analogy and then also talks about what the acronym HOPE means. I cannot tell you enough how amazing this episode is. I was so inspired and so on a high after this conversation I had with Matt, and I know you guys will be too. Please be sure to check out the episode notes and how you can learn more about Matt and how you can contact him. But I won't talk anymore. Without further ado, guys, please meet Matt. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining me here for our next episode of My Cancer Story podcast today.
Thank you, Jess. I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to share my story, excited to share, you know, a lot of the lessons I've learned and really hopefully help your community out today.
So yeah. Yeah, no, I'm so looking forward to hearing your story. Everyone, Matt reached out to me through Instagram. He shared a little bit of his story in the message, and he's a stage 3C testicular cancer survivor and also a keynote motivational speaker. So this is really exciting for me to have you on. It's just like this kind of like a double threat, who knows, triple threat of different things that you can do and what you've accomplished with your cancer diagnosis. So from here, Matt, is more conversational. I'll have you take it away, start telling your story, and I'll ask questions along the way.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. You're welcome.
You know, how I look at it is, one of the greatest lessons I've learned was the more adversity, the more challenges, the more setbacks you have in life, the greater the setup, the greater the opportunities you have to not just become a better version of yourself, because I truly believe your growth comes through failures, your growth comes through the most difficult times of your life, but it allows you to impact other people at such a more impactful and meaningful level. You know, when people are going through challenging times, I can now help people, you know, through survivorship, through cancer, through really difficult challenges in their life that might not be cancer. And I truly believe that your greatest gift is when you go through something. I pray nobody gets cancer, but whatever rock bottom or challenging moment you go through in your life to just start off with, just know, instead of looking at it as a victim mentality, start looking at it as a blessing. Start looking at it as a lesson that is really going to expand your life and allow you to really become the person and find that purpose that you are meant for in your life. And that's what it's allowing me to do. You know, I'm still on this path, but every day I take it as something to really push me forward. So with that said,
that's such an amazing outlook. I'm sorry, side note. That's not everybody just looks at it that way. And for you to be this young adult and just to have this outlook and share it with other people, I think is incredible. Sorry, go ahead. I just want to commend you for that.
Because I was not like that whatsoever. Okay. I'm going to share a lot of vulnerability here because I was the total opposite. I was victim mentality. I was down on myself. I did blame, you know, I'm Christian. I blamed God and blamed a lot of people and things like that. But, it's really helped me turn around. So yeah, so I'm 29 now. At 24, I was a healthy personal trainer. I was eating the right foods every day, working out, everything you can imagine. And honestly, like my friends would come to me for health and fitness advice at the time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I just started dating my girlfriend at the time, Lauren, and she's still my girlfriend now. And, we're doing all these activities, hiking, kayaking, all these things. And all of a sudden I noticed these minor back pains. And at 24 years old, you're just like, you're fine. You're going to be, it's just going to go away. You're going to be just fine. And I thought it was from lifting or just doing too much activity. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And one night I was over at Lauren's house and it's about 2 months in from the back pain. And I ended up waking up and puking up blood.
Oh God.
I got rushed to the emergency room. they did a blood test on me and they found out I had lost 2/3 of the blood circulating in my body, which is equivalent to being shot with a gun.
Oh my God.
Immediately they put me on 6 bags of blood. They gave me 6 bags of blood, put me into an emergency surgery to figure out what was causing the bleeding. And going in, doctors were like, it's probably just an ulcer. It's probably something that's going on in your stomach that's been causing this. And little did I know, you know, the next day I wake up, I'm thinking I'm going home. And all of a sudden the doctor walks in and he goes, Matt, he sits down, he grabs my hand and he goes, Matt, we found an 11-centimeter tumor in your small intestine. We are almost 100% sure it is cancerous and we have to rush you to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic immediately. And, you know, me being from Cleveland, thank goodness this is one of the top hospitals in the nation. So I get rushed to the clinic and, you know, they do a bunch of tests on me and they find out that I had the highest stage of testicular cancer. And I'm going to backtrack just a second here is, you know, when I found out the news, it was just me and my parents at the time, nobody else. And I remember seeing them crying. And for me, what I thought was the right thing to do was to hold all my emotions in, was to say, if I can hold this in, cause I'm this male, especially men. And I want to talk to a lot of men out there right now. You know, women, you're usually really good, a lot better than us at it.
Yeah, I'll say at showing our emotions, of course. Exactly. Yeah.
So for me, I had this connotation of be strong. You know, I got to be strong to share the news to Lauren, who's only been dating me for 2 months. I got to be strong to my friends that are going to be coming in and holding all this emotion. Little did I know that was creating anxiety, that was creating PTSD, that was creating stress. Every time I'd hold it in, it would just make things worse and worse. And eventually, you know, friends were flooding in, things like that. And eventually Lauren comes and she already knew the news because my parents had told her, but I was nervous because I didn't know she still wanted to be with me because 2 months of just dating and finding out that your boyfriend has cancer, it's a big burden to put on somebody.
Yeah.
But she was pretty much an angel sent down. And, you know, that is when I finally realized that it's okay to share my emotions. And I broke down crying. And it was really challenging for me because we just started crying and I just started sharing what I was going through. And I'm telling you, Jess, like all of that weight just was relieved off my shoulder. It wasn't all at once, but it was finally something that I could say, okay, what is next? How do I focus on what's next instead of dwelling and worrying about the past? Because when every time I'd hold on to it, all it would cause is dwelling on the past or constant worry about the future instead of let's be present and focus on what I need to do to get myself healthy. So immediately they put me on 5 rounds of what's called BEP. BEP is bleomycin, etoposide, and cisplatin, and that is very, very potent drugs. And usually for men, even with the highest stage of testicular cancer, so mine was technically the highest stage. You could call it stage 4, but it's basically the same exact thing from what my oncologist told me. Because my AFP levels, which is your tumor markers, that's what kind of tracks where your levels are. And mine was just off the chart. So they had to put me on an extra round of BEP. I ended up losing my hair within a week and a half, fatigue, everything you think of on chemotherapy. And then to make matters worse, where I really fell into this victim mindset was my 3-year-old puppy who I was basically battling cancer with ended up passing away. And I know people who lose pets, it's really tough. But for me, it was really challenging because I took him to all his chemo sessions. He was like my best friend. We were kind of doing this together. And I remember I broke down. I didn't want to go to chemo anymore. I went to this victim mentality. I started blaming other people. I started asking God all these questions. I started to just question my life in general. And this is a little saying that I learned that has really helped me in life. And that is, everything in life happens for you, not to you. And I'm sure you may have heard a similar thing of that or the same thing. But here's how I look at it. We're all going to get unfair news. We're all going to get unfair situations in life. We're all going to get knocked down. But how are you going to take that situation? Because I could be taking that situation and go 2 completely different ways. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, if I start saying, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. I'm going right into that why me mentality. I'm going right into blaming other people. And it's going to get me nowhere. If anything, it's going to cause more stress and more pain in my life. Mm-hmm. Then I flipped the script and I said, you know what? How is life happening for me? Unfair, all these things. And I started looking at everything that has been challenging in my life as a lesson, just period. I just started looking at it as an opportunity. And as long as I'm still here, I will not know a lot of the reasons why things happen, but I can say it can help me grow if I allow it to. And I dedicated the rest of my chemotherapy. I still had two more sessions. I dedicated the rest of my chemotherapy to my puppy Duke, and I crushed it. You know, I had this stronger mentality moving forward. Those days that were extremely difficult, I pushed myself forward to do what I could, getting up and walking. And that's what I would tell people is focus on one thing a day. Do not overcomplicate it. If you are struggling right now, if you're going through cancer, or if you're going through a difficult moment, stop trying to figure out all of the solutions. Instead, focus on one thing that you can control during your day, and it's going to compound over time into then finding the result, into then building something or breaking through barriers you never thought you could break through in your life. And for me, I didn't know when or if I was going to break through chemo, and I did. So the five rounds go by, and of course, you know, I'm hoping, you know, it's downhill from here, but little do I know it's actually just the beginning.
Oh no.
Yes. So I go to my oncologist, I sit down with him, and he goes, "Matt, we have good news and we have some bad news. Good news, your tumor is shrunk from 11 centimeters to 3 centimeters. I'm like, "Awesome. Can't be that bad of news." And he's like, "But the bad news is it's wrapped around what's called your inferior vena cava." Now, your inferior vena cava is a central vein that basically goes from the bottom of your upper body to your heart. He said, "It's wrapped around it. We're going to have to, it's basically squeezing everything. So we're going to have to remove the vena cava. We're going to have to remove the tumor. We're going to have to remove the rest of the cancer that had spread to my liver, my kidneys, everywhere in my body." Mm-hmm. And like the lymph node. So it's called RPLND, retroperitoneal lymph node dissection. Okay. And most high, like stage 3 testicular patients get this surgery. It's a very intense surgery. For me, it was a little more intense than I wanted it to be. I ended up having a 11 to 12 hour surgery with 4 different surgeons involved. They cut me open from my left hip to my right hip. And going into the surgery, I was about 140 to 145 pounds. So I lost about 40
pounds. Tiny anyway. Oh my God.
Well, coming out of it, I was close to 200 pounds. My stomach and my body just swelled up. I was like a balloon. And I remember waking up, and for 3 days, I couldn't even move. And I remember asking my doctor, I'm like, "What is going on?" And he said, "Well, surgery went a little unexpected, but the draining, we have a draining tube and we're hoping the draining will come out and you should be okay within a couple of weeks." So a week goes by, I'm out of the hospital, about a week in just at home. All of a sudden the draining just stops like that. Not good, because all of a sudden my body starts to shut down. I'm in so much pain. They had me on Oxycontin. They had me on Percocets. They had me on any type of painkiller you could think of. Wasn't doing anything for me. So I got rushed to the emergency room, immediately put into an ambulance, get rushed to the Cleveland Clinic, and they had to drain 7 liters of fluid out of my stomach, causing me to go into complete kidney and liver failure. I had a cone drilled inside of my head to relieve potential brain swelling. I had a catheter in my chest. I had a catheter in my neck because they thought I was going to be on dialysis the rest of my life. And I ended up falling into a 2-week non-induced coma. So all of this was a massive, massive whirlwind. But if it's okay, I'd love to share a story of faith. I don't push faith on anybody.
Oh, no. Yeah, please. Please go right ahead. Yeah.
Me being Christian, my mom being Christian, she would hold these prayer services. We had 3 prayer services. And hundreds of people, maybe even hundreds of people attend this service, and then thousands around the world. They said there's people around the world praying for me.
Aww.
And every day, my parents and Lauren, they never left. They literally never left that room. And Lauren would come over to me every day as I was in my coma. She'd grab my hand and she'd pray for me. And I kid you not, as she's holding my hand, as she's praying, as the last service is going on, hundreds of people are praying. That is the day that is when I woke up from my coma. And I remember Lauren, I don't remember, but Lauren telling me that she ran over to the doctor. She ran over to my parents saying, "Matt's waking up." They didn't believe her. They thought it was some like phantom, like movement.
Goosebumps. Sorry. And,
no, you're good. And the doctors come running over and they take a look and they see my eyes start to open. And, That was the power of me saying, God telling me, "Matt, this isn't the end of your journey. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning."
That's truly powerful.
Yeah. And so eventually I start, you know, a couple of days in, I start to wake up. I don't know what's going on. I have me installed a ton of drugs. I start to kind of get my bearings straight. I had a breathing tube in my mouth as well. They finally take the breathing tube out. A week in, they go to take out one of the catheters in my neck because they start to see some progress in me. As they go and do so, I have what's called an arrhythm heartbeat. It's a 0.001% chance. I end up going into cardiac arrest. They have to do 8 minutes of CPR on me, and they have to bring me back to life, and I go into another 1 week coma. This time it's they like seduced me into this coma. Okay. And I was in a coma for a full week. And finally I wake up and it's now Valentine's Day. So I've been in the ICU for almost a month, not quite, but almost a month now. I'm about four surgeries in from all the fluid they had to drain from me from the original surgery to then. And I remember waking up and I tried to move and I couldn't move my hands, couldn't move my feet, couldn't move anything. And I learned really quickly that I was going to have to relearn to live my entire life again. Relearn to walk, relearn to do everything. And from two weeks, it took me from laying in my bed with four nurses every day coming in to taking my very first steps again. And eventually I did so. And it was probably one of the most challenging things I've ever, endured was during those 2 weeks of me physically having to learn to walk again. It was the most painful, grueling. I can't even explain it, but
I can't even imagine it.
My body was just shut down, and it was just regaining strength. And the problem was they couldn't give me any food because they've been doing so much work on my stomach. So everything was through IV. I couldn't drink anything. I couldn't eat anything. Everything was through IV. So I had dry mouth. Ugh. They could only put water swabs of sponges in my mouth, which is, I'm going to tell you right now, I was probably 40 days like that is the worst feeling of all time. It is just terrible, but I was able to persevere. Mm-hmm. And finally I'm out of the ICU. It's now over a month and I'm in this recovery room. Mm-hmm. I'm four surgeries in and something just felt off though. But they said, Matt, you're making amazing progress. You're doing great. And finally, I am ready to get shipped off. I'm still in my bed. I can't really get into a wheelchair. I can, but I'm still in my bed. I'm getting shipped off to the final stages of physical therapy where mm-hmm. hopefully within a week or two, I will get out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. As they're shipping me off, I kid you not, my stitches burst open.
Oh.
And I don't want to get gruesome, but my spleen was sticking out of my stomach and I had to get rushed into a fifth major surgery. And they had to do what's called an open wound surgery on me. They couldn't close my skin back up. So I had a football size mesh where they took out all of my abdominals. And I'm guessing where you could, guess where I ended up back. I ended up back in the ICU room. And
your body just did not want you to leave ICU.
Yeah. Oh and this was, I think, the turning point in my life. I really think this part. And if you have any questions after this, please let me know. I'm just kind of going off here. Sorry.
No, but do it. Don't be. This is incredible and crazy, but go.
All right. So I'm in the ICU room and I wake up about 3 days later, 2 or 3 days later again, and my hands and my feet are tied to the bed. And the reason is they didn't want me touching my wound because if I woke up and accidentally touched it. So I'm not even kidding you, for about almost 48 hours, I had a breathing tube in my mouth and they didn't know I was awake enough to like try to talk and do things. So for 2 straight days, I could not get a hold of anybody.
Oh no.
Sit there. And this was that poor, for me, I felt like if I hadn't been in rock bottom before, I was officially in rock bottom of my life. It was setback after setback after setback. But I remember praying to God and I said, God, I have two options here. When you're in rock bottom, you literally have two options.
Yeah.
You give up on your life. And for me, it was life or death at this point. Give up on my life and say, hey, I'm ready. Take me. Or I'm in the lowest point of my life. And the only place I can go is up. And I look at life as like a slingshot. Mm-hmm. Every adversity you have, that slingshot comes a little further back, a little more resistance. I had cancer. I was in a coma. I had cardiac arrest. I had all of these things. And eventually, I'm telling you, eventually that slingshot is going to go. And when it goes so much further than you ever thought. And for me, I got up off of that bed when they took me, when they took the ropes off and everything, and I walked further than I had ever done previous to any of the ICU rooms, any of the recovery rooms. I was out of the ICU within like 3 days after they released me. And finally, I was in my final stages of physical therapy. And that's where you basically learn to do all your daily activities. You learn to sit on a toilet. You learn to get up off of a bed. You learn to walk up one stair, not flight, just one stair, things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And here's a really powerful story. So I met Lauren on March 17th of 2016, which is St. Patrick's Day. She literally stayed with me. I was in the hospital for over 50 days. So she stayed with me over all 50 days in that hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was released on March 17th of 2017, wow. exactly one year from when we met. And for me, I look at it as God putting somebody in my life for a reason. And I want to ask a lot of people here is, who is that person in your life that when you are going through rock bottom or when you are going through a challenging moment, you know they're going to be there for you. You know that they're going to be there and help you through that process. And for me, it was Lauren. It was my parents as well. And a lot of the times we can take that person for granted. I'm not going to lie. It's easy to take that person because you just know they're going to be there. So recognize who that person is today. Maybe send them a text message. Maybe give them a call. Have a conversation if you haven't had one in weeks or a month. Mm-hmm. Because it is so meaningful to them. And it is also going to be meaningful to you. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you're going to get anywhere in life by doing it alone, you are hardly mistaken. Mm-hmm. You are never going to get to your destination just by going by yourself. You may start by yourself. It may be a lonely journey, but you need to surround yourself with positivity, with people who are going to help you. And I'll get to that of how I've gotten to where I am today, because it was me having to surround myself with like-minded people, losing friends along the way. I had all the friends in the world, and it was really, I still have a lot of them. I would say it was like 10% of them that, unfortunately, when you say you're going to go do something big with your life, you're going to lose probably close to 10% of those people, or maybe even more. And it hurts because you thought that they would support you along the way, but it turns out that their insecurities, unfortunately, they put that on you, or they just question a lot of things because they don't understand your process and they resent you for it. Mm-hmm. But I'll get into that in a second. But for me right now, I just, it was just a really powerful story getting to see that me and Lauren have two really special days now. And it's just so meaningful to us. And, I know for a fact God put her in my life for a reason. So, so that was the whole journey through cancer to finally coming out. And then I can talk about the recovery process, but if you have any questions, please let me know.
Man,
I know
that's an intense story. Holy crap. Like I wasn't saying ooh about your stitches busting up, and I was just like, oh, come on. No, really?
No.
It's just like, you just couldn't get a win, but you know, like you're saying, ultimately it was like that slingshot. And I love that analogy. I've never heard that analogy before, but it's perfectly put and it makes so much sense in my brain when you visualize it. And you guys, now you and Lauren have this like really beautiful anniversary, you know, for so many reasons. And that's something special to share with that person. And for me is my husband. So like having that person is so important. That person, that's your biggest cheerleader. That's going to be with you every step of the way, that not necessarily won't question, but will support you. You know, they are your partner. They're, you know, your biggest fan. So to have that person is, you're truly lucky and special to have a person like that. As far as questions, do you like kind of going way back when you were first diagnosed, do you know how long like the tumor had been growing? Like, did they have an estimate or a guess? Because like it had wrapped around your inferior vena cava. Is that right?
Yep. No.
It was, okay. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I know it was part of the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. No, good call. Yeah. It's hard to remember if you don't actually know it. So
yeah.
I don't think they had an actual time and date, but if I had to guess, it was somewhere 3-4 months prior, because I started noticing it close to the end of May to beginning of June. And I didn't get diagnosed till August 13th.
Okay.
So for at least 2 months, and I'm guessing even more, because I was probably so healthy and my body was just like, for a while, it was growing. And the craziest part about it is, for, I would say 90% of males or even more who have testicular cancer, they have some abnormal, you know, thing going on with their testicles. I did not. I had nothing abnormal, and it made it extremely rare. So they found out though through an ultrasound that that's how it formed, but it ended up going into my small intestine, and that's why the tumor went there. So
got it.
Yeah, it was just crazy. And I couldn't explain it. So I would guess like anywhere between 3 to 4 months it'd been growing. And before that.
Yeah. I imagine it's incredibly aggressive anyway. So it probably didn't even need to take that long to grow and spread like it did. Well, that's a harrowing story. Like that needs to be like some sort of movie or book. If you haven't already written a book,
I'm in the process. I haven't wrote it yet, but I want to make it not just about my story. I want it to be more of a inspirational, like, I know my story can be inspirational, but I want to give so much, like this is the cool part about it. If I would have wrote my story 3 to 4 years ago, I would have had to write another book because I've learned so much in the past 3 to 4 years. So for me, I love it that I can start now where I've gained a lot of knowledge. And then maybe in 4 or 5 years, I'll write another one. But
yeah,
that's the power, is I get to talk more than just my story. I get to talk about everything now that I'm able to give back to. And that's why I think the power of inspiring others is really in play.
Absolutely. So yeah, going forward after this whole journey, you know, coming out of it, getting released, you know, passing PT and OT and all these things, like what happened next? Like, where did you get, obviously I know where you got your inspiration. Like, how did it become, I guess this like boulder rolling down a mossy hill of just picking up speed and becoming motivational speaking and like having this appreciation for God, for life, and looking at the bright side of things? How did this all come to be?
Yeah. Great question. So I'll start with where I was, because it's a big part of it. So I get out of the hospital. Remember I told you I was close to 200 pounds. Now 110 pounds. Oh, remember, I couldn't eat anything.
Just all fluid.
Anything. It was all fluids. And I was laying in a bed for 45 out of the 53 or whatever days I was in the hospital for. So I get out, and once again, being very vulnerable, I start going into this why me mentality again, in not wanting to do everything because I didn't have the accountability I did in the hospital. I only had a nurses 2 times a week to help change my wound. And I had one physical therapist 1 time a week. While I was in the hospital, I had somebody every day keeping me accountable, keeping me on track. My parents and Lauren, they can only do so much. They had their lives they have to live too. And they're trying to help me. But about 2 weeks in of my recovery, I ended up having to get rushed back to the hospital because I had a standing heart rate of 150 beats a minute. I had blood pressure through the roof. My temperature was 103 degrees. And I had to stay for 5 days in the hospital because I wasn't taking care of my body. And this is where it changed. This was the ultimate, like, I need to get my shit together or it's just not going to work. Is I ended up sitting down one day with Lauren, and this was like maybe couple days after the hospital. And we ultimately came to the conclusion of, Matt, if you do not turn your life around and you do not, and you keep letting this situation define you, you may not be here next month. True reality. You may not be here next month. Or you may not be here in 3 months. Your body cannot handle this if you are not willing to take care of yourself. And just as I said before, this is all I did, Jess, was I focused so hard on only one task a day that I could get done. It might have been walking 50 meters. It may have been eating a little healthier. It may have been working on my mindset, all these limiting beliefs I have in myself. And for me, the first thing I did was I picked up a 5-pound dumbbell and I did bicep curls. That's it. That's all I did. I did bicep curls for like 20 minutes with a 5-pound weight.
I felt like
Hercules or something after it. And I was 110 pounds skin and bones. And it was hard because I'll tell you right now, I had so much body image issues because I was this, I mean, I was very fit. I had a six pack. I was muscular. I was 185 pounds with like 7% body fat, like all of this 8 months ago. And now to see myself like this with a massive lump on my stomach that I know I'm never going to have, be able to have abs again. I'm never going to, it's going to take me years to get my strength back. It got to me so hard. But I want to let anybody else know right now who is on a health journey, who's maybe lost a ton of weight or gained a ton of weight. Just remember, all it takes is one thing a day to push yourself forward. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't overwhelm yourself, because as you compound over days, guess what? I call it winning the day. And when you can win the day, guess what? You're going to ultimately win the week. Guess what happens when you win the week? You're going to ultimately win the month. And when you can win the month, then you can eventually, when you compound enough wins over those months, you're going to win the year. And when you look back at a year and you have all those wins lined up, you're going to be so amazed and so impressed with, you know, of where you came from.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what I did. You know, it took me a full year for my skin to grow back through my wound because it was an open wound. It took me 2 years to gain my weight completely back to 75 to 180 pounds. It took me 2 years to get my mental and emotional health back, where I had a lot of anxiety, I had a lot of PTSD, but I was able to open up. And throughout all that process, you know, here's another really cool story I'll share with you. About 6 months in, I had finally gained some weight. I was back to about 135, 140 pounds. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go show these people, all my nurses, because I went to go to my oncologist to get checked up. And I'm like, I'm going to go, you know, impress all these nurses at the ICU because they hadn't seen me since I'd been gone. And they just knew me, you know, as this person in this wheelchair. And I walked in with so much freaking confidence. It was incredible. And guess what? The first person I saw was the nurse who saved my life when I went to cardiac arrest. Wow. Comes over to me crying.
Oh my God. Goes,
Matt, this is my last day in the ICU room. I'm not even supposed to be working today. I got called in for an emergency shift and I'm leaving tomorrow for a different hospital. I kid you not. Wow. We are still in touch today.
Oh, I love that.
I'm still have his social media handle. I have his phone number, everything. And his name is George. He saved my life. And that was God saying, you know what, Matt? Here's a little, you know, present for you for everything. And I think it was more for him than it was.
It was definitely a present for him too.
It was more for him than it was for me. And for all the ICU nurses, of course, all of them remembered me. So it was just a really cool story that, once again, people can be brought into your life or re-brought into your life at certain times. So, so now going on to doing something bigger with my life, it took 2 years first. I always say, here's a classic line. You may have heard this. You need to be selfish in order to be selfless. And here's what the meaning is. Mm-hmm. If you cannot take care of yourself, if you cannot overcome some of the obstacles and challenges, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm saying you need to be able to take care of yourself first in order to then eventually help other people. And that's what I had to do. I had to say, hey, listen, I gotta take care of my body. I gotta take care of my mind. I gotta take care of all my emotions and spiritual stuff that's been going on with me these past, you know, 2 to 3 years. And I said, okay, I'm gonna take that time to do that. And then I said, okay, I'm feeling good. I got my weight back. I got my strength back. What is next? And this is a huge thing with survivorship. Is a lot of people, when they overcome something, they feel like they've been given a second chance in life. They feel like they have a bigger purpose. But the problem is they don't know where to go. And the people who were with them, most of the time, the people that I love them or their friends, expect them to go back to who they were.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not that, they are not that same person. You have the good qualities in you. I still had the kindness and the loving and the caring, but I had this passion that I know for a fact God gave me that said, listen, Matt, I didn't put you through all of this to just sit around and go back to your normal job, to go back to just being you again. Going back to all this struggle, you know, I had a lot of anxiety before cancer. I was a mess, and actually cancer made it better because of perspective and gratitude. So what I had to do, here's exactly what I did. I started at first looking at motivational YouTube videos. That's all I did. I started looking them up, and all of a sudden I came across this guy named Ed Milet. He's an entrepreneur and he's more than an entrepreneur. He's a motivational speaker. And I watched this podcast because it intrigued me. It said, here's the tagline. It said 0 to 400 million. I was like, cool. This is awesome. Whatever. I'm going to take a look at it. Go to watch the hour long interview. Nothing, almost nothing has to do with money of 0 to 400 million. It had all to do with all of the shit. Sorry if I swear.
All the shit
he went through to get to where he is today. And it literally just put this switch in my mind. This was the next thing of getting me to where I wanted to go. Remember how I tell you there's moments in my life. Everyone has these moments in their lives that they can probably look back at least one thing. I have three of them. It was in the ICU bed. It was talking to Lauren, and it was watching this podcast with Ed Milet Ed Milet. And he shifted my mindset to saying all of this crap I went through, there's a meaning behind it. And I said, how do I get in front of this guy? And you want to know the craziest part? He literally 2 months later decided to start this mastermind group for entrepreneurs. And I was nervous because it was a big investment for me. Yeah. And guess who was telling me, you're crazy, don't ever do this? My parents, people I love, everybody except for one person, Lauren, for some reason. I don't know why, but God's like, listen, Lauren's going to be your savior. And she was like, listen, Matt, I support you because I can see the drive in you. So you can make this investment, even though I even questioned it a little bit. And let's see what happens. And it was the best investment I ever made because guess what it allowed me to do? It allowed me to surround myself with people, like-minded people who are going to help me get to my destination in life. Because as I started to share my story more, as I said, I was so nervous. I could never get on there like this. I would just be like, you know, this is what happened and all this. But they were like, oh my, but when they heard the story, they're like, Matt, you have to get this out. And it gave me more courage. and it gave me more confidence. That's what I tell people. If you're afraid of speaking, if you're afraid of going and doing something, you need to do it more often because that's going to build confidence. You want to know what builds confidence in your life is by going out and doing the things that you tell yourself you're going to do. And even though they're fearful, even though you're scared of doing, it's going to build momentum. It's going to build confidence. And then it's going to ultimately create a ritual and routine in your life. And it's just going to be a habit that you're able to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what it allowed me to do as I started to share more of my story. I eventually started getting on stages in 2019. Of course, COVID hit and then it kind of took a backtrack, but it actually was a good thing for me because I allowed me to get onto podcasts and allowed me to focus on mentorship.
Oh, great.
And it allowed me to say, okay, well, how can I monetize this speaking into more mentorship? So I started coaching other survivors. I started helping other, you know, entrepreneurs or people who were looking, who had limiting beliefs in their, in, you know, in their path and trying and helping them through the process of it. Mm-hmm. So this is how I got to where I was. And this is how you can do it too. Start off by doing some research of something you're passionate about or something that you overcame and that is meaningful to you that other people need your help with, that you can help them with. Mm-hmm. And then find somebody who's already doing what you want to do. That's what I did. I found somebody who's doing what I already want to do. And guess what I did? I didn't just copy and paste them, but I basically like said, hey, how did they get started? Yeah. And I started to, you know, build momentum off of that. And
you took the framework and made it your own. That's perfect. Yeah.
Got it. So sorry, I'm just rambling.
No, I love it. No, this is great. Don't be sorry.
Cool. So that's how, that's what's got me to where I am today. And it allowed me to also, you know, 8 months ago now, October, whatever that is, 7 months, 8 months.
Okay.
I had the courage to build a Facebook group and it took me 3 months to do it because I had so many limiting beliefs. I truly believe your biggest breakthroughs is when you have the most fear and the most uncertainty and the most doubt in your life. And when you're ready to overcome that, that's when the biggest breakthroughs are. And I had the most fear, uncertainty and doubt in my life starting this group because I was like, what if people just don't, you know, relate to me? What if all these people get, you know, what if the group just turns into this big gossip or all of this like negative energy? And I just prayed about it. And eventually a couple people in my life were like, Matt, you don't start this thing. Guess what's going to happen? You're just going to regret it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm doing it. And I started it. And today we have over 4,500 patients, survivors, and caregivers in this group. And it is the most loving, supporting group I've ever been a part of. And the coolest part about it is it's not just a support group because I never, when I was going through my journey, I didn't start with support groups. I started with entrepreneurs because I knew I needed somebody with the right mindset. And that's what I wanted to bring to this group is these other support groups are great, but I don't feel like they have a mentor that is helping them through the process of taking action or getting over a lot of these hurdles. And that's what I want to do. I'm not here to give medical advice. I'm not here to be a doctor. I'm here to be somebody to give you the mindset to overcome whatever you're going through, whether you're a patient, caregiver, or a survivor, however you've been impacted. And it's changed the game. And, you know, now I'm looking to, you know, kind of venture off. And my next hurdle is, you know, getting into more advanced mentorship. And I haven't exactly figured it out, but I'm at that point where I'm just going to take that leap of faith. So that's kind of been my story.
I love it. And you have the right mindset for it. That's perfect. And I love the group that you did make on Facebook, because like you're saying, like, there are support groups, there are doctors, there are like all these like social workers, whatever you call it. It just, your group sounds like it just adds a piece to the puzzle of what a lot of people need. And some people don't even know that's what they need, but to have this like group that's safe that they can, you know, like ping off each other and feel love when they need love or ask for advice or just when they just need someone to get them in that right mindset is that's huge and so important, especially when people are scared or just that they need that they're like at their lowest of lows, or they just need that extra push. And I think that's incredible of what you've done so far with your journey. And I know that there are amazing things to come for you. So I'm so excited to see what else you do. So I love your passion and drive, like just listening to you speak. I'm just like so motivated now. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, he's right. Yes, Matt, thank you. And I'm just like vigorously writing down notes while you're talking. And I'm just so excited to see what else you come out with and what else you can share. I'm like at a loss for questions right now because it was so good.
I'm happy to be on here and really help. I can give one more piece of advice here.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask is like, any advice? How can we find you?
I'll give one piece of advice next and then I'll I'm more appealing. So one of my favorite acronyms is HOPE. And the acronym is Help One Person Every Day. I learned it from a guy named Jim Quick, but he, you know, what it's really allowed me to do was focus on helping one person. The power of helping one person, I think people underestimate, because here's what it is. When you can help one person, guess what happens? That person can then take the knowledge that you've given them and help the next person. Mm-hmm. And as you help 10 people, you could ultimately be helping 100. And as you help 100 people, you could also be helping 1,000. And as you help 1,000, you know, 100,000. It's insane by the power of helping one person at a time. And yes, you want to eventually help more and more, but start with one.
Yeah. It's that ripple effect. I love that.
And my favorite acronym is HOPE. So it gives people hope, you know, help one person every day. And, you know, so that would be my message. And, you know, for where you can find me, on all platforms. So you can find me on Instagram at M-A-T-T-Y. So Maddie_Odie. And then just Matt Odie on Facebook, Matt Odie on LinkedIn. And then if you want to get into my Facebook group, send me a direct message on Facebook, or it's called Cancer Survivor / Patient Taking Back Your Life from Cancer.
Okay.
That's what the group's called. If you can't find it, send me a DM on Facebook and I'll be happy to get you in. And Jess, if you're ever interested, I would love to have you on as one of our live speakers. And
I would be honored. Yeah, I would love that. It's so cool. Like, and what you've done and how you've created it. Like I would absolutely love to be on it. So thank you for the invite. Oh my gosh. I'm like at a loss for words right now. I've legit enjoyed like listening to your story, and I'm just in awe of what you went through and what you've overcome and what you've made of it. It's incredible for everyone that I've interviewed, what everybody has done with their life post-cancer and, or during cancer. And you had touched on it, you know, going through adversity, you know, having trouble in your life and coming out the other side and doing great things and using that mindset to do great things. There's obviously a timeline that you go through where, like you're saying, that victim mindset and everything, but you came out the other side, and whoever's listening out there who needs to hear this, you can come out the other side as well. And I really hope that, you know, I know more than one person that listens to this that will get so much out of this, but at least if, you know, one person hears this and they need to hear this and they can do something and learn something from you, that's just gold for me. And that's why I do this podcast. So I get to meet people like you, and my listeners get to meet people like you. So I'm just so thankful for you, Matt. Thank you for sharing your story.
You're doing an incredible job. And,
thank you.
You know, we'll be staying in touch. So.
Absolutely. Yes. I would love to do like some follow-up stuff with you. Like I foresee a lovely relationship ahead between you and I. So doing some cool stuff together. But before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
You know, just kind of going back, I guess the last thing I can say, just going back to my last thing, just like you reiterated, remember, your adversity is your greatest gift in life. Yeah. Your adversity, your failures, your setbacks are all your greatest gifts, because the only way you're going to grow in life is by going through the challenging moments. You know, you learn the most through your setbacks. I look at your setbacks as a setup for something bigger. So just remember that, guys. I know we're all going through difficult times. We're all going through challenging moments, but that slingshot analogy as well that I told you, all those setbacks are leading you up to that big moment where you're just going to skyrocket into bigger barrier, breaking through bigger barriers and better opportunities. So
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining me today. It's once again, I'm super jazzed. It's a pleasure to meet you. And I know everybody's going to love hearing this episode. So thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, guys. Bye.